gracious, kind, and loving Father in heaven, this morning we count it a blessing that you've allowed us to be counted among the living. Speak to us, for we are listening. Jesus, let me pray. We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus. What do we say? God is good all the time. Don't look happy to be here. Let's smile like this. Have we all washed our hands? Okay, let's give each other a firm African handshake and a banana smile. Tell them that you are welcome. Glad to stand before you this morning. For the fact that for some of you, it's not the first time that we are meeting. So we praise God that the Lord has allowed us to come and meet, especially in the house of the Lord. What do we say? All right, I would also love to thank the elders for the introduction, also for inviting me to come. The elder talked to me, and I must confess that the elder is a very humble man. You have humble elders here. What do you say to your elders? These are the kinds of men we need, especially in the last days. Amen? So I'd love to thank your pastor, your new pastor, for the work that he's doing in the new district. What do we say for him also? Right, I haven't come alone. Come with someone, a friend of mine. I'll request her to stand. Her name is Blessing. Blessing. I'll request her to stand. She's not my wife. She's my sister. Right, that's our last born, Blessing. She's always there to support me, especially for the time being. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Come with me to the book of John chapter 2. Our Bibles are open. Our eyes are closed as we seek the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, this morning we count the blessing that you've allowed us to come and tabernacle with us. We thank you for the sufficiency of your Son and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray in a special way, Lord, that it may please you to save me from me, that you may appear and that these your saints may hear you speak in your very own language. That as we leave this place, we may be transformed and renewed in our minds. Lord God Almighty, we have our Bibles open. We don't know what your Spirit has to say to us. We pray in a special way that the same Spirit that moved the holy men to write the Word may come and illuminate the passage of Scripture to us, that we may understand and we may comprehend heavenly messages. Thank you because you always answer our prayer. In the name of the pre-existing, incarnate, resurrected, soon to come, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. I hope that it will be beamed for us, for those of us who do not have the copy of the Word of God. John chapter 2, reading on verse 1 up to 11. Bible says, "And the third day there was a wedding, a marriage, in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. But Jesus was called, and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tested the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11 says, this beginning of the miracles Jesus did in Cana and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. God add a blessing upon the reading of his word. This morning we are presented with a very interesting passage of scripture in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, born on planet earth, and he left the splendors of heaven to come and dwell
world and tabernacle among men. The Savior of the world grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. But time came when he was of age and when he was invited somewhere. It is interesting this morning to learn that Jesus was first invited to a marriage and he performed the first miracle at a wedding rather than a funeral. In other words, we are here this morning to learn of a Jesus who is also a social being. May I submit this morning to us that we were created as social beings. And it is important for us to realize our position in socialism. We ought to know this assignment by God to be social individuals. So Jesus, the Bible says, was invited to Cana. Now before we get to Cana, let us begin to unpack what the word of God says. The Bible says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now let's begin the text this way. You see, when the Bible says the third day, it must be something that is very significant to the writer and to the author to specify why the third day. Now scholars are a little bit divided when it comes to the third day. They actually don't know whether it was the third day of the wedding or the third day of the week. Whichever the case, the Bible just presents to you and I that it was the third day. But what is so significant about the third day? Why is it important for him to say it was the third day? Why doesn't he just say there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee? But he says on the third day. The reason is very simple, beloved children of God. Each time when we read in the Bible and we find figures, we must understand that figures have a meaning in the Word of God. For example, number 7, what does it mean? It means what? Completeness. So, figures can be used in symbolic language to communicate something that is very special. Let us begin from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 11 and see how the third day is used. Now Genesis chapter 1 verse 11 is the creation account. And the Bible says, the grass and the trees sprouted from the ground on the third day. In other words, number 3 in the Bible represents growth and new birth. It represents something new that is coming out of death to existence. Number 2, we find Genesis 41, and the Bible talks about Joseph being released away from prison after 2 years, and it was the third day he was released from prison. Hosea chapter 6, verse number 2, Bible says, after 2 days, he will revive us on the third day. And the third day he rises up, and he shall live in his sight. Like the children of God, each time we read about number 3 in the Word of God, it has a significance. It represents a new birth. It represents a new era. It represents something new that is coming out. It represents something that the Lord is doing to his own creation. Not only that, beloved children of God, Bible talks about Paul, that he was blind for 3 days, and the third day he received his sight. In other words, number 3 is so significant. Number 3 stands for God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It represents a trinity that found in the Godhead. And so we find that day number 3 is an important day, even in the Jewish culture. Bible says it was the third day. Amen? It was the third day, and there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. What happens to Jesus on the third day? Bible says Jesus resurrected on the third day. Now I'm interested to talk about what happens before the third day. Bible gives us a bride, which is the day before the third day. Jesus is praying. Peter are sleeping. Judas are betraying. It's just but a Friday. It is a Friday. Pilate are struggling. Councils are conspiring. And the crowd is vilifying. It is just but a Friday. They don't know that the third day is coming in the life of Jesus. They don't know that Sundays are coming in the life of Jesus. It is a Friday. Disciples run away like the sheep without a shepherd. It's just but a Friday. The third day is coming. It is a Friday. Marys are crying. They are like the sheep without a shepherd. It is a Friday. Peter's are denying. They don't know the Sundays are coming. It is a Friday. The Romans beat up my Jesus. They crown him with a crowns of thorns. They don't know the Sundays are coming. It is a Friday. We see Jesus walking towards Mount Calvary as he carries the cross of our iniquities, as he goes on the top of Golgotha. It is just but a Friday. His blood is dripping and his spirit is burning. It is but just a Friday. They don't know that Sundays are coming. Sundays are coming. The third day is coming. Fridays, beloved children of God, are days in our lives when things are dark, when the stars cannot shine. There are days in our lives when life doesn't seem to make sense. There are days in our lives when things are falling apart, our marriages are falling apart. It is just but a Friday. Sundays are coming in your life, child of God. You might be going through a Friday moment in your life. Remember, there is always the third day that is coming in your life, a day when you will, like Jesus, resurrect from the dead. It is just but a Friday. It is a Friday. Death has conquered on the cross. It is a Friday. They laid Jesus Christ in the tomb. Death seems to have conquered, and victory was taken by the devil. It is just but a Friday. They don't know that Sundays are coming. Sundays, beloved children of God, will always come. Friday, death has won, sin has conquered. Jesus is buried, the tomb is shut. But come Sunday morning, after Jesus has rested, come Sunday morning, very early in the morning, Sunday morning, the grave is open. Gabriel, the archangel, comes from heaven above to come and open the grave of Jesus. Come Sunday morning, the soldiers are running away. They remain like dead people at the brightness of just one angel. Come Sunday morning, death is defeated. The stone is rolled away as death salutes to Jesus. And he comes out of the grave victorious without any corruption. And he says, all power has been given unto me. I have the powers of Hades and death. It is a Sunday, friends. Sundays are coming in your life, child of God. Hold on to the Fridays. Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The third day when it comes, today they can look at you to be a nobody. Today you may not have a title in your life. Today you could be jobless in your life, but Sundays are coming in your life. You just need to wait upon the Lord. Endure the Fridays of your life when they begin to beat you up, when life struggles begin to toss you left, right, and center. But remember, you have to rest on a Sabbath. But come Sunday morning, you will resurrect victorious. The Bible says it was the third day, and there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Now, let's go to the Bible. Cana of Galilee, as you can just get the language there. The Bible says there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. In other words, there's a place called Galilee, and there's a place in Galilee called Cana. Now, Cana is a place that is in a remote area. Are we together, church? So the Bible says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. In other words, Jerusalem is like the Lusaka of Israel. And now, Jesus begins his business enterprise, not from the capital city, Lusaka, but he goes into the remote of Lusaka. Give me one of the remote areas. Let's say Shangombo. He begins his ministry from Shangombo. And in Shangombo, there's another remote area called Cana. Are we together now? Are you getting the picture? So the Bible says, Jesus begins his ministry in Cana of Galilee. Galilee is a remote area of Jerusalem. And Cana is the remotest of the remote area. This is where you find people who are typical villagers. Those people who actually, if you ask them who used a toothpick, they would say, well, it's not me, perhaps it is your children, because each time I use them, I take them back. These are true villagers who really
really don't understand what civilization is all about. But I want you to notice something interesting in the passage. When Jesus thinks of beginning his ministry, he doesn't think of Soweto Market, where there are a lot of people. He doesn't think of arcades, where there are elite people. He doesn't think of city markets or a place where the business can easily grow. But Jesus begins his ministry in a remote of the remotest place. What does this mean to us? It simply means, beloved children of God, doesn't matter who you are, whether you are lost in Bemba, Tonga, Jesus loves you irrespective of where you come from, what tribe you belong to, whether you are a village, Jesus can go so far to follow you where you are. Jesus doesn't believe in the choir and the crew, the separation that we give ourselves, the status and the classes. Jesus is a God of everyone. The poor and the rich, they belong to Jesus. He loves us alike. You see, when you look at the man Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, Jesus was not even a rich person, so to speak. He was born in a manger. And when he was born in this manger, the Bible actually says Jesus was not even handsome, if you like. In short, Jesus was ugly. But this man that is ugly begins his ministry from a remote area. And the ministry grows, and for the past 2,000 years, it is the biggest enterprise that humans can ever talk about. Read Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 2 and 3. The Bible will tell you that there was no comeliness on his face. There was no beauty that we could behold. In other words, as we look at Jesus, when he enters the door, Jesus is not the kind of a guy you say, wow, there goes a dude. That's not Jesus. Jesus is a kind of a guy, when he comes into this church, no one would really pay attention to him. But the beauty of Jesus Christ sprang from the heart, inside out. The problem with many of us is that we want beauty, the outward adornment, the outward appearance. But beauty in the context of Jesus must come from within. Because as he begins his ministry right in the remote area, every one of them hears the need, and they begin to follow Jesus. God is looking for men and women in this day and age who will believe in their beauty, not beauty according to education, not beauty according to makeup, beauty that springs from the heart and outside to other people. Sometimes I wonder why we as a church, as Adventists, we are unable to attract people to ourselves. Instead, when sinners look at us, they run away from us. What kind of beauty do we have? Is it the beauty that Jesus had, that even in the village people followed him? Now notice what the Bible says. Both Jesus and the disciples were called to the wedding. They did not get crushed. Do we have get crushers here? Do we have people who found themselves in a wedding at one point or the other and invited, and you just say, no, he's my friend, there's no way he can give me a card. We have such people. I know you can't raise your hand, but I know you are there. But when you talk about Jesus, he was mannered. He was well mannered. He never attended a wedding without invitation. This comes to us, beloved children of God, that my Savior Jesus Christ will never come into your life uninvited. You and I ought to invite Jesus. He will never get crushed into your personal life. He doesn't poke his nose into your personal life. My Savior has to be invited. When you invite Jesus, then he will come into your life. So the Bible says they invited Jesus to the wedding. And notice what happens. After they invited Jesus, they danced in arias. You know, I want to believe those were Adventists. And most of the times Adventists, since we don't dance here at church, we have a tendency of dancing at the weddings in arias. This is where you can fail to distinguish between a Dorcas mother and a dancing queen. The way this woman who comes so down, reducing themselves like that. They'll make sure they dance in arias. So after the dance, they danced, they did all their things. The Bible says, and their wine ran dry. Let me give you point number 3. Wine will run dry even in the presence of Jesus. Even when you are a Christian in your life, time will come when things will not be alright. They invited Jesus. Jesus, not only Jesus, and the disciples were there. But the wine runs dry in the presence of Jesus. Jesus is here, but the wine is running dry. Now, let me just explain one more. Wine in the Word of God represents doctrine. That's why the book of Revelation says they have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Remember that? Wine represents doctrine and teaching. Wine also represents happiness and joy. Whenever there was joy in the Word of God, Bible says they brought wine. Now, these two things I want to mention. The Bible says Jesus was there, but their throat runs dry. Jesus was there. The lifestyle of the Jews, their doctrine had waxed cold in their lifestyle. They had forgotten who they were. They were like the Adventist meeting in the last days, yet they have forgotten their identity. They do not know what they represent in the last day. Their wine, their doctrine has run dry. They begin to live their life in complacency. They are living just like any other person. And Jesus wishes to demonstrate to them what it means when their wine runs dry. Let me say something to you and to me this morning. Whether we like it or not, one day our wine will run dry. Whether Jesus will be present or not, one day our wine will run dry. See, let me just illustrate. How many of us have seen old women before? An old woman, very cute old woman. Have we ever seen one like that? Very old, not old as in the old where they're able to do things, but quite old. Have we ever seen somebody like that? Now, each time you look at an old person, old woman, I want you to remember that at one point in time, they were the ladies in their own day. At one point in time, they were the flowers of their time. They could not move from here to the bus stop without somebody whistling, without somebody stopping them. And they could move and shop in their own time. But at that time, their wine was still there in their cups. But today, they can move from here to Soweto. No one will stop them. The only time somebody would want to stop them is whether they're asking for time. What's the time? Where is the direction going to be? More. That's the only time they'll stop this woman. The reason is very simple, child of God. It is because their wine has run dry. Are we together, church of God? It is because their wine has run dry. Let me speak to the little girls, the young girls who think they have it all. One day your wine will run dry. Watch out! Look at your time. Your peace is saying no. One day your wine will run dry. You have nobody to speak to you. They'll be watching you from here to wherever you're going. Just know that it is the beginning of the running dry of your wine. But what do you do when your wine runs dry is the question this morning. I want you to notice what these people did. Number one, they invited Jesus before their wine ran dry. It matters what you do, friends, before your wine runs dry. Before you get into trouble in life. Before you lose your employment. Before you are divorced. Before you go through problems. Before you lose your answer. Before you before you lose your life, matters what you want to do now. Invite Jesus when you still have your wine. Invite Jesus in your life when things are still alright. Because one day your wine will run dry, child of God. Begin to call upon his name now and invite him as your Lord and personal Savior of your life before the wine runs dry. And when your wine runs dry, you already know where to go. The Bible says when they discovered the wine was running dry, the man of Jesus right away went to Jesus and said, Lord, they have no wine. In other words, the man, Sani, they have no wine. And look at the Sani and what he has to say. Sani stands up and he says, woman, imagine that. You as a man are becoming an endearment title. They have no wine. You see what? It is your opportunity to show them that you are the Savior. But the son now stands and he says, woman, what do I have to do with thee? My time has not yet come. Follow me close, the church of God. My time has not come. Woman, what do I have to do with you? In other words, I have no business with you. In other words, your prayers, what you are asking for, is practically impossible. In other words, I'm not going to grant your heart desires. When we pray to God, faith is calling upon his name. We must realize and understand that sometimes delay does not mean deny. When Jesus delays to answer our prayers, it doesn't mean he has denied. Notice what Mary does. Mary says, my son, they have no wine. Jesus says, woman, my time has not come. But notice what Mary does. Mary rushes to the servants and he says, hey, last time he comes, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Amen. Mary is a woman of faith and faith beyond sight. When you have prayed in your life and Jesus has delayed, you are asking for a job, you are asking for a spouse, you are asking for money, you are praying for employment. Go and buy a new shirt, a white shirt, and a necktie, and a suit, and prepare for interviews. This is a when sometimes you're praying and Jesus doesn't seem to answer, you want to get married, go, sister, and buy a wedding dress, begin to check out the price of the horse, because soon or later, Jesus is going to answer your prayers. Matters what to do when Jesus says, my son, man, my time has not yet come. Man, realize that the timing of Jesus is different from the timing of Mary. But while we are on this side, the just shall live by faith. And faith means not just sitting idle, praying for employment and sleeping all day long. Faith says, I pray for employment and I go to search for one. The Bible says, as Jesus looked at the faith of Mary, he was moved by the faith of the mother, and he said, this is what we are going to do. Hey, servants, fill in the six water pots now. Allow me to preach on this one. The six water pots. The six water pots. The Bible says there were six. The Bible also says there were not only six, but they were empty. The Bible doesn't say they were just empty, but it says they were made of stone. Are you following, church? How many were there? How many were there? There were six. And I said in the Bible, all numbers are very significant. Number six in the word of God represents inadequacy. It represents incompleteness. While number seven represents completeness, number six represents inadequacy. Number six represents incompleteness. Now, follow the drama that goes on. There are six water pools. In other words, here is the situation. A complete situation. This is why the number of the peak is six, six, six. In other words, it is a tree of incompleteness. Number six is a trinity of incompleteness. So when Jesus looks at the six water pot, he sees a situation that is incomplete. Not only is it incomplete, but it is also a situation that is dry. Not only is it dry, it is also a situation that is empty and stone. In other words, beloved children of God, we are seeing a situation that is completely hopeless. Number one, it is stone. Number two, it is empty. There's nothing in it. Number three, the number is inadequate. There is a trinity of 666, a number of inadequacy. And Jesus now comes to a scenario that is so inadequate, so not perfect, so not good. And Jesus commands to say, put water in the incomplete water pot. Let me apply it to us. God, the children of God, when your life is empty and incomplete and inadequate, when Jesus looks at you, and everyone in your family says, what good can come out of this one? Jesus, when he looks at an incomplete water pot, he sees the ability to contain the water that is going to pour out. Amen. When Jesus looks at your dry situation, he looks at your incomplete situation, your empty situation, he sees a container that can carry the blessings of the Lord. So he looks at them and he says, they are sick, they are incomplete, but they have given me the audacity to bless them, fill them to the brim. They were filled and the water was changed into wine. And it was given to the governor of the feast. You see, whenever you attend somewhere, even if it's a wedding, if there's a person who really doesn't know what goes on, he's the master of ceremony. They actually don't, they are blank. They don't know what's going on. So when he was given the wine, he says, every man at the beginning doth bring the good wine. When all the men are well drunk, now that's when he brings forth the worst wine. But you have kept the good wine up to the time of the end. Listen to this. There must be a paradigm shift in the minds of the children of God that the best is not now, but the best is yet to come. In the life of a Christian, the best doesn't come number one. The best comes at the end. Why the devil brings the best now? You're sleeping with a man. You're enjoying whatever you're enjoying and swallow the bitter pill of pregnancy and death. But God says, wait! Your better moment is yet to come. In the plan of God, while others are using dubious means to earn wealth, to get employment, they sell their bodies. God's children ought to stand on the principles of God and say, my best is yet to come. Never compromise your principles, child of God. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. Remember the Savior that we serve is
is a God who believes in the best that is yet to come. What is it that you are going through right now? I have just come by to tell you, the best is not now. The devil presents the sweet now, and as you continue eating the sweet, enjoying the sweet, the end thereof are the ways of bitterness. There's a way that seems right in the eyes of men when everybody else is doing it. They cry, they take pride, they bind their employees, they work on the Sabbath. God's children ought to stand and say, my best is yet to come. It's not now. It may delay, but delay is not denied. My Savior is seeing me. Doesn't matter, child of God, whether the situation is in it, whether the situation doesn't make sense, whether you're not getting married now. Don't ask for marriage. Your best is yet to come. Don't kill yourself. Even if they want to make you join Dorcas by profession of faith, don't rush for marriage. A better man is yet to come. You see, I have realized in a few years of being a Christian that the longer it delays, the better it becomes. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When you read the word of God and throughout the scripture, there is what I call the shall and the will, the eschatological shall and will of the Lord. It runs through the whole Bible. A sign that the best is not now. A sign that the best is yet to come. When everyone else says, live life and enjoy it while it lasts, God's children want to say, I may not enjoy here on earth, but I shall enjoy in my heavenly Father's home. When everyone else is going to nightclubs, but everyone else is compromising their principles, God's children ought to remember what the word of God says, that the best is not meant for now, but the best is yet to come. In the secular world, we place the golden age in the past. We hear men who say, us, when we were men, those days when we just joined the church, when we were still men, I don't know what they are now, maybe they stopped being men, when we were still men, you hear parents who say, us, when we were at school, we never used to fail. Does it happen here also? It happens. Where our parents were intelligent in the past, but now they are down. Does it happen to you now? Well, they'll tell you to say, no, this Benz, the old BMW, was very better than the one that we have. Have you ever seen such things? In other words, we even said God, is it odd, is what? God. You know that thing? That's it. Now, when we come to the word of God, it is not like that. When we come to the word of God, the best is not now. The here and now, the by and by is not the best. Genesis chapter 47. Let's begin from the book of Genesis. The Bible says, I just want you to notice the shall and the will that signifies that the best is not now, but yet to come. Listen to what the Bible says. 49, the Bible says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the Lord give up between his feet until Shiloh, and unto him shall be gathered to his people. Let's ask Job, the man of God, what do you have to say about the best that is yet to come? Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand on the last day. King David, what do you have to tell us about the best that is yet to come? David says, I know the best is yet to come. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I know that the Lord is with me. David says the best is yet to come. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of God forever. David acknowledges that the best is not yet enough. It is yet to come. Prophet Isaiah, do you have anything to tell us? Isaiah says, yes, I know the best is yet to come. For on that day, the lion and the lamb shall lay together. On that day, they shall not faint, nor be killed in the holy mountain. On that day, every valley shall be brought low. Every low places shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be brought low. The best is yet to come. Isaiah says, the crooked ways shall be made straight. The rough plains shall be made smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's come to the New Testament. Do we have anything to say about the best that is yet to come? Before we come to the New Testament, let's ask the man by the name of Daniel. Daniel, what do you have to say? Daniel says, at that time, when Michael shall stand, the one that stands for his people, there shall be a time of trouble. Yet not only that, but the best is, during the time of the trouble, God shall shall deliver them. Amen.
I wonder why we fear the mark of the beast.
Because the Bible says, in the days of the time of trouble, the Lord of heaven shall deliver his people. And so the best
is yet to come, child of God. What about the New Testament guys? In the book of Mark chapter 14, 62, he says, you shall see the Son of Man in power and in the clouds of heaven. What about those that have died? Those we are going to comfort. The Bible says, for the Lord himself, not any other creature, but the Lord himself, the Lord himself shall descend with the voice of an archangel, with the shout of God, with the trumpet of God, and the righteous dead shall be resurrected incorruptible. Doesn't matter, child of God, when I die now, I've heard people who say, Yeshua, aenda na chupi yake, unaenda na chupi yao ndani. It may not be now. You may have to go through a few trials and temptations. Things may not make sense now. Finally, John the Revelator says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Listen to what John said. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more sorrows, no more pain, no more death, no more rape, no more defilement, no more cholera, no more anything, no more problems. The best is yet to come. I can't wait to see that home. I feel like going home, child of God. We are sick and tired of this world that is dying. The world coming to an end. When the economy is not promising. When the politicians cannot fulfill. When the church leaders cannot be depended upon. I, as a child of God, I stand this morning to tell you that peace and solutions are not in the governments. They are not in employment. They are not in the things of this world. The best, my friend, is yet to come. Won't come from the government of PF. Won't come from the government of UPND. Whatever your hope of political affiliation is, it will only come to only one party, and this is the party of Jesus Christ and the host of the angels. I long to welcome Jesus before the time of trouble comes. Before my wine runs dry, such a desire this morning. That when he comes on that day, you shall say, Lord, this is the one we've been waiting for. I long to hear those words from the voice of the Master. When he shall say, these are they that went through the tribulations of they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Such a desire this morning. You are going through something and you are saying, Lord, I know it's not a yes now, but I believe in the best that's yet to come. Why don't you lift up your hand if it's your desire? That we pray together. Let me invite somebody who's saying, Lord, I know I've tried many doctors. My marriage is falling apart. I am jobless. I can't be married. I'm growing old. I'm almost giving up. But I want to claim the blessings that says the best is yet to come. All my friends are employed, but I'm the only one. I want you to come up front. I want to pray in a very special way for someone. Who's saying, Lord, I need a special prayer. I just need you to touch me in a very special way. Why don't you make some steps of faith that the Lord should see that you believe in him? That your best is yet to come. Doesn't matter how dry your situation is. Doesn't matter how dark it looks in your life. There is always light beyond the tunnel. Doesn't matter what you're going through right now. What matters is who you believe in. In whose faith do you put your life? In whose hands put your life? I want to pray, if you're coming, come. Delay not, for we want to pray together with those that fear you. Lord, I have been praying. Lord, my wine has run dry. My marriage is not working, Lord. I'm not getting married, Lord. What's wrong with me? I try to be good to men, but they dump me anyway. I try to look for employment, but they don't pick me anyway. I am tired of attending interviews. I am working, but I'm not increasing in wealth. What is wrong with me, Lord? You're saying, Lord, today I want to call upon your name. Like Mary, even though you say, not now, my child. I still believe in the best that's yet to come. I want to pray now. Just waiting for you to come. And we pray together. The best is yet to come.
in your life. Let's close our eyes. Are you coming? We want to pray now.
Heavenly Father, we are humbled this morning for reminding us that we could be going through a Friday night in our lives when people are spitting on us, when we look like losers in the sight of men, when our marriages are falling apart, when our relationships are not working, when employment seems to be an impossibility, when life seems not to make sense, and sometimes we almost wish our lives were taken away.
But today we realize that your wine is not this one that runs dry. The one that has run dry now is not the best wine. Your wine is yet to come. We wish to have the faith to wait for that wine. We have different situations here, Father. You know ourselves more than we know ourselves. We pray now in a very special way, Lord, that as you be blessing your servants, may you be Jehovah Rapha to those that are sick, Lord. Be Jehovah Shalom to those that have no peace in themselves. Be Lord Jehovah Roy to those that are lost this day, Father. My God and my Father, be Jehovah Jireh to those that are lacking and are in need. Provide for them. That as we leave this place, we want to see the blessings unfolding in our lives, that we may know that the best that the Lord said has fully come. In all is said and done, my Father, we wish to see the best that is yet to come, the great appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember to write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, that as we come on that day, may we hear these words being spoken to us: well done, good and faithful servant. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. Bless us now without reserve, we pray. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, unto him who is able to present us without faultless and sin, to the only true God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.